Aren't you thankful that God does hear, God does care, and that we can come before Him? Encourage you, come before Him. Rolling our requests. Man, I was reminded of that as a teenager. The verse that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's kind of like when you have that big medicine ball in the weight room. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And man, when that thing is chucked at you real hard, you catch it, it's like, oh. But the reality is we can just roll it off onto God and casting all our care onto Him. And so, man, we've got a God who hears and answers prayer. Our verse for this week and this month is Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. One of my helpful ways that I know sometimes as I memorize verses is to put some emphasis on some certain words. So as you're saying that throughout the week, man, there's definitely some words you can put some emphasis on in that section there. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, and even, man, as he's going through, choose you this day whom ye will serve, and thinking about some of those things, then at the end again, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as you put those emphasis on, man, sometimes it just draws some of those things out, and you really begin to think and meditate on them. And then the first five books of the Old Testament are called the Law or the Pentateuch. Okay, sorry. The only thing that came to my mind was penitence, and I knew that wasn't right. Okay, so the Law or the Pentateuch. And we've got, let's say them together, Genesis beginnings, Exodus redemption, Leviticus holiness, Numbers journeys, Deuteronomy obedience. Now, you still have to say them in order without all that, because sometimes you have to say them in order, right? So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Let's go to history, Ashton. And we have Joshua, possession, Judges. Anybody got it? Remember? Apostasy, that's it. And then we have Ruth, double word here. Kinsman, Redeemer, 1 Samuel. Yeah, that's it. Somebody said it. What? Transition, Laura. Good job, Laura. 1 Samuel transition. Hey, that's okay. That's okay. That's why she's whispering it. Okay. 2 Samuel, David's reign. Let's go ahead and run through these ones here real quick. Ready? Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman, redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. One more time. This time I'll say the book. You say the keyword. Ready? Joshua, possession. Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, excellent. And then the rest of our history books, throw them all up there, Ashton, if you would. 1 Kings schism, 2 Kings captivity. So let's do those two again. Go ahead and throw the whole slide up there. 1 Kings schism, 2 Kings captivities, 1 Chronicles worship, 2 Chronicles warning. So we've got those two W's on the Chronicles. So if you want to remember those. Ezra, the return. They return where? Israel, back from captivity. Nehemiah, refortification. They're refortifying the city, building the walls. Remember, they built with a weapon in one hand and the tool in the other. And then we have Esther, providential care. Let's go ahead and say these through a couple times real quick before we get into our lesson for the night. 1 Kings schism, 2 Kings captivities, 1 Chronicles worship, 2 Chronicles warning, Ezra the return, Nehemiah refortification, Esther providential care. One more time. Ready? 1 Kings schism, 2 Kings captivities, 1 Chronicles worship, 2 Chronicles warning, Ezra, the return, Nehemiah, refortification, Esther, providential care. Again, as you're reading through some of these books, this is kind of a theme that you can see. Yes, we could pull out some different keywords, but these are what we have for now that we can look at and say, okay, I can see this theme in this book as I'm reading it and studying it. Excellent. Back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapters 12 through 14. As we've been looking at last week, we began to look at ungodly influences. We started with a couple people there, and the one's trying to influence the other, and the other's like, there ain't no way you're going to get me to go. Sometimes in life, that's what we've got to do, because we have to be around ungodly influences. Jesus said, I've called you to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to go and be part of the world. He's not, when we got saved, he didn't bring us to heaven. Again, he didn't call us to live in a convent. He didn't call us to live in a nunnery. He called us to be in the world, but not of the world, to resist these godly ungodly influences and be a godly influence. Last week, then, go ahead and throw the next slide on, Ashton. We talked through all of this, a covenant relationship. We talked about what a covenant was. A covenant is an agreement, a pact, or a promise. And the one we're specifically looking at is God's covenant with who? We looked at Noah, and that was the rainbow. And then now, after Noah, we're looking at, not yet Moses, Abraham. There we go. And we're looking at Abraham. We talked about two types of covenant, man to man, and that kind of covenant. What's one of those covenant relationships we think when we see man to man? I think a marriage. That is a man to man. Man to woman, yes. In our world, we want to be very careful, as we clarified. When we're talking about this man to man, biblically, we're talking human to human. Now, our world thinks it can be man to man, woman to woman. But marriage is between one man and one woman, and God's intent is for the lifetime. One man, one woman, for one life. Then we have God to man. Real quick, back to that God to man. God always upholds his promises, and we saw that with the flood. And we saw that with a rainbow. Now we're getting on with Abraham's life. We talked a little bit about this. We see the caravan of camels and what is going on there. Terah was moving his family to Ur. That's right. And Haran, specifically, we see present-day southern Iraq. How many of you don't want to be there right now? Okay, that makes three of you. Now, I know Lloyd and Nancy would like to be there. Not really be there, but they'd like to see Ryan. So you'd be praying for Ryan as he's over there in Iraq. But Terah moved his family to Ur, present-day southern Iraq. God told Abram, at this point, Abram, not Abraham, but we know it's the same person. God told Abram to leave. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. In chapter 11, he's going through and we see Terah moving his family. Now in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Why do we take a high priority in our relationship with Israel and the United States of America? Why should we? Okay, so they're God's chosen people. God did choose them and use them, Rob? Because Jesus was not American. Okay, Jesus was not American. Jesus wasn't white. He wasn't Caucasian. He was Jew. And so we see the reality. But then also, man, I look at this section here in Genesis chapter 12. As God is talking to Abram, verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Now he's talking future tense here, right? I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Again, I do see that we should be careful and have a high priority of our relationship with Israel. America has been Israel's ally, whether we've acted like it or not, at times. Pastor Rob?
Would we say that God's covenant is still with Israel, and therefore
we should
side with Israel?
Amen. Because God's not finished with Israel. Is Israel set aside for a time? Yes. God, in the New Testament age, God works with which organization? The church. You and I are part of the church. Are saved Jews part of the church? Yes. But God's not finished with his promises to Israel. All God's promises in the Old Testament for Israel don't automatically get applied to the church because we are not Israel. Those promises that aren't fulfilled to Israel will be fulfilled. And they are God's chosen people that God's not finished with yet. And why would we honor them? Because who are we? God's chosen people. I mean, that's the reality. Some of them aren't saved, but man, God is still working with them. And his plan is, again, to come back and work with them. We see that in Revelation. We see just so many different things. So, man, we and our relationship with Israel, we should have a high priority. And so, man, that is something that as Christians, I think we need to be very careful of. Yeah. Yes. Maybe did I word that wrong? In chapter 11, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of Chaldees. 28. Verse 29, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. So Terah was in Ur. So Terah moved his family to Ur. Here we see that, according to verse 28, that Terah died before, or Haran died before his father Terah in the land of nativity in Ur. So they were in Ur. And then we see verse 31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from them from Ur. Yes, I did word that wrong. So he moved his family from Ur. So they were in Ur, and then he moved them from Ur to where? Yes, Haran. Yep, Haran, Haran. So I'll trust you on that. I didn't look at my Bible map. But so he did move them up to Haran. Okay, Haran. And then we see from there that God called Abram to get up and go from there to somewhere else. Where? Where do we know it to be now? The promised land, Canaan land, that God gave them. Joshua, our keyword is? Someone said it. Possessions. Good job. Jenny, good job. Okay, Joshua, possessions. We see finally the land that God called Abram, his family, but God called Abram to go and obey, and we see the final resting point there in Canaan. Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate that. So God told Abram to leave. He completely broke with his past. He gave up practically all natural ties with his family. He said, God's more important than family. Now, well, that doesn't mean that God calls us all to move away from family. But we have to all come to this conclusion that God is more important than my family ties. And as parents, we have to come to this conclusion. If God calls my kid somewhere else, I have to be willing to let my kid go. And man, that can be a tough thing. I'm not looking forward to that day. But I know I've had some family members who've worked through that. My aunt, she has three girls. One's a missionary in Brazil. One's a missionary in northern Canada. Talk about opposite spectrums there, temperature-wise. And then one is back near her mom, and they went shopping today in Muskegon. But two of her three are gone, miles and miles and miles away. If God calls, we've got to be willing. But even if we're right there, our priority must be God, not family. And that's what Abraham had to learn. And we see that multiple times throughout his life. God is which priority? First priority. That's what Abram had to have. God promised blessings in verses 2 and 3, as we talked about that. Make Abram a great nation. Make Abram prosperous in his business, with his family, in his faith. God promised to bless him in a great way. Make Abram a blessing. Galatians 3:14 talks about that. In fact, let me read that here real quick. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. God promised and God fulfilled. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is a blessing of Abraham. We have. We have been blessed through Abraham's family. We would not be here were it not through God's blessing of Abraham. We aren't Jews. But, again, we are from through Jesus Christ adopted into God's family. What a blessing. So we see Abram here was a blessing. Abram had faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Abram had faith. And that's how you and I need to live our lives. Lives full of faith. That I can trust God and that I can be that man, that woman of faith that God wants me to be. Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes we call it the chapter of faith, the hall of faith. Dealing with that, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't get the fulfillment of their promises, but they lived in faith. And ultimately, you and I don't have the fulfillment of our promise. Heaven. Danny has it now, doesn't he? Someday we'll experience that. Again, if you know Christ as Savior, if you don't, man, you need to get saved. But the reality is, man, Abram had faith. Let's live our lives of faith. And then we see finally the last one there under this point. Righteousness came by faith. Genesis 15, verse 6. Genesis 15, 6. Righteousness came by faith. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It was not a work. It was by faith. Salvation in the Old Testament was by faith in God. Salvation now is by faith, and we, the just, shall live by faith. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for this opportunity. Would you help us to live by faith like Abram did as he got up and he went, as he went where he didn't know he was going, but he trusted you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.